This morning, Exodus chapter 25 or 26, somewhere in there. And we're going to use a lot of stuff today, visual objects and so forth. Good to have everybody out. I hope that you've burned off all your fireworks so I can sleep tonight. Amen. Oh, no, I was glad to hear him. Amen. I was glad to hear him. And we're going to get into the Bible this morning. And I don't know just exactly how far we're going to go, probably finish it up tonight. But nonetheless, we're preaching on the treasures of the tabernacle. And you're not going to need to be in the 26th chapter of the book of Exodus. It starts there in the 25th chapter, but you're going to need to be in the 26th chapter. And if they can get up the tabernacle here in a little bit, why, we're going to be looking at the boards of the tabernacle today. We're going to be looking at the reason I brought this board in. And they also have a video up there. And you guys get that video. Hey, Ty. Your wife, what did you do? Hit her in the knees? No. Well, I want to say something. How many noticed that Ty found that new seat back there this morning real fast? They took the two little seats up here that nobody ever uses, put them back there. We've got one more row of pews this morning, and Ty found it right off the bat. But anyway, I got to tease you and aggravate you. Oh, trying to be nice so she can sit in that chair. Well, anyway, if you guys got in a fight, try to get over it, okay? I bet you've never had a fight since you got married, have you? Oh, you've had plenty of them. There is an honest woman, amen. There's an honest woman. You know, that's the truth about it. How many here have never had a fight? You've been married at least 5 years. You've never had a fight. Raise your hand. You're lying, Dean Martin. What about it, Raylene? A lot. Woo! Huh? You're always fighting. Makes me feel better about myself, I can tell you for sure. There's comfort in other people's misery. Amen? Anyway, I want you to write something down today. The Bible has a lot of typologies in it. Number one, gold speaks of deity. Anytime you're looking at gold in the Bible, that speaks of deity. When you're looking at silver, silver speaks of redemption. You need to write this down because all the metals in the Bible, just as well as the numbers, have typical application that you can learn a lot from. Brass in the Bible speaks of judgment. Brass always speaks of judgment in the Bible. And wood in the Bible speaks of humanity. Now, we're going to be looking at the boards of the tabernacle, Exodus chapter 26 and verse number 15. Is everybody there? Say amen. Amen. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. Underline that. Underline boards and underline standing up. 10 cubits, underline that, shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board. Set in order, underline that, set in order, one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle, and thus shalt thou make the boards for the tabernacle. 20 boards on the south side, southward. Thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver, underline that, sockets of silver, under the 20 boards. 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And by the way, if we're just talking right here, let's just get this tenons and socket business down, because it seems like most Americans don't know what that is anymore. A tenon would be like if you cut this out like this, a little thing that would set into another board, the other board would match it. So if my hand was the socket, this tenon would set in the top. I don't want to knock a light out. Would put this set in the socket. So this would be the tenon. This would be the socket. I'm sure, how many knows what a socket is, a 3/4-inch socket? Well, it's something that the bolt sits into and it secures it and you're able to turn it. And it's a securing device and a connecting device. And God told him to be sure that you put the tenons and the socket and the silver sockets, put the tenons into the silver sockets. So anyway, here we go. We're going to pick it back up now. Verse number 21, there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, there shall be made 6 boards, and 2 boards shall thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto 1 ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. Those last few verses we're talking about the west of the end of the tabernacle, as opposed to what is before, talking about the 20 on each each side. And then it comes to verse 26. This is very, very important in this doctrinal study. Thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, five for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the two sides westward. And the middle bar, underline the middle bar, in the midst, right? Underline that phrase, in the midst. Anytime you're in your Bible and you read the phrase in the midst, you're getting close to the cross. Jesus was crucified in the midst of the two thieves, the Bible said, and shall reach from end to end. And verse 29, and here it is, thou shalt overlay the boards with gold and make the rings of gold for places for the bars, and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold, and thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was showed thee in the mount. Lord, help us to preach today to glorify the holy name of Jesus Christ our Savior. And I pray, God, today that folks will be saved, folks will grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, thank you for Sunday, thank you for church, thank you for the word of God, thank you for the blood of Christ, thank you for our redemption, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and are doing and will forever do for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. All right, so we're looking at the treasures of the tabernacle. We said gold speaks of deity, silver speaks of redemption, brass speaks of judgment, wood speaks of humanity. These boards in the tabernacle, you'll see them right here. Here they are. Right here they are. They're in this section right there. There's a board right there, and you see these rings right here, and you see this bar going down. These are boards standing up. Write this down somewhere. Boards are a picture of believers in Christ. This tabernacle is a picture of Jesus Christ. Boards are a picture of our Lord, us in Christ. The Bible said when we got saved, this is a pastoral feeding message today is what it is. But I just want to stop and say, if you're listening to me online or in here and you've never been saved, you must be born again. I don't care if you go to church till you're gray-headed and you're not born again, you're going to bust hell wide open. You need to be born again. You must be born again. That's what I said. Well, how to get born again? And I'll tell you what, just turn to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Believe that he died for you in your place on the cross, shed his blood for you, suffered for you, was buried and rose again the third day. Place your faith and trust upon him and in him, and God will save you. Amen. But if you're not saved, you're not a board. But if you do get saved, God's going to make you a board. Not bored, a board, all right? All right, let's have a good time. Now, first of all, thing, if you want to write down, learn a little bit this morning, there's 48 of these boards. There's 48 of them in this tabernacle. That is a multiplication of 6 times 8. 6 is the number of man, and 8 is the number of new beginnings. It's the number of resurrection, all right? Think about this. These boards are not doing this. These boards are not doing that. These boards are doing this. And they've been resurrected. They've been made to stand, all right, now, once they were cut down. So anyway, in the book of the Bible teaches that, watch this, that you and I were dead and we were risen with newness of life in Jesus Christ. Did you know what had to happen for this board to ever be put in the tabernacle? It had to die. It was a living tree and it had to die. And that was cut down and it was fashioned and formed to suit what God intended for it to be. And then God said, brings it up and makes it stand in Christ. And that's what happens to you when you're saved. Before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses and in sins, the Bible said. And so you repented of your sin. You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. God then took you and raised you up from that deadness and made a newness in life in Jesus Christ, put you in his body, put you in his work, and you're standing is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21, we are fitly framed together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, if that's not speaking about that tabernacle, I'll eat your dirty socks. Amen. He said we are fitly framed together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are risen with Christ, and not only risen with Christ, but we stand in Christ. Now, before this before this believer could stand, there's something had to happen to it. And I want to preach about this for just a little while. Before this board could occupy a place or a position in God's habitation, which is the church in Christ, amen, it had to be cut down from its natural standing. If I'd have had my way today, I nearly almost brought a chainsaw, but I was afraid word would get out that I was chasing people with a chainsaw up here, so I didn't do it. Amen. But you can imagine, wham, 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 what's his name, Jerry Clower, as he chased them out of the beer joint with a chainsaw. Amen. But let's just say it's a cross-cut saw. But this tree had to be cut down. I have some beautiful, watch this now, I have some beautiful trees out at my farm, but I'm going to cut down, and I have been cutting down some of those beautiful trees, because you know what? And this forester man over here can tell you something. That if you don't cut those trees down, eventually they'll die and rot and they'll go to waste and it won't be any good for anything. But if you'll let it be cut down, there's something inside that tree that is valuable and that can last and last and last and last. And what God has to do is cut us down. Now listen, what happens when you get saved? Basically, God cuts you off from your former life. God cuts you off from the world. God cuts you off from your flesh. God cuts you off from your former life. And God, John the Baptist said it this way, the axe must be laid to the root. And here's what God does. God comes and he says, I'm going to cut you off of your source of existence, your source of life. It's a dying, decaying thing that'll never amount to anything. But I'm going to cut you off, but I'm going to do something with you after I've cut you off. What God brings you down, the law of God will saw right through your soul. Did you know that? The law of God and the word of God will just penetrate, it'll cut. And what God's law does is saw right through our natural supposed goodness, our humanness, our humanistic stuff, our religion, our strength, our prideful standing, our pretended spirituality, our possum professions of religion, and God just cuts it down. That's what God did with me in 1982. God took the chainsaw, the crosscut saw of his word and his truth, and he cut through all my hypocrisy, and he cut through all my lies, and he cut me down from all my junk and left me lay on the ground. That's what God has to do to you. Let me tell you why you're seeing so many false professions these days, because it's supposed to repeat after a prayer after me, and there's never been any cutting down. The axe has never been laid to the root. Amen. What does it mean for the axe to be laid to the root? It means that you cut that root. You get the root out of that thing. You cut it off from its source of life. And that's what God does when he saves you. You cannot be risen with Christ unless you are first dead with Christ.
Amen.
So I'm talking about repentance. God's law will say, God removes us from our standing in the flesh. Conviction of sin, repentance of sin is what I'm talking about. Let me just tell you right now, you'll never get truly born again of the Spirit of God unless there's a genuine old time Holy Ghost Bible conviction of sin that you're guilty before Almighty God. Let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. That's what the Bible says. And we need to get back to preaching to where people on sin till people realize they're guilty before Almighty God and that they need to turn from their sin. And then will they appreciate a Savior. Amen. I'm telling you right now, until you know you're a sinner, you'll never appreciate a Savior. And if that's not allowed to be done, you'll never be in the body of Christ, the church, and you'll never be saved until you're cut down from your pride, until you're cut down from your worldly roots, or cut down from your religion, to your intellectualism, and anything else that's standing between you and God. Somebody says, what about if there are certain things that we've made idols in our hearts? There are some of you sitting here today, some of you listening to me today, there are things you will not let go of for Jesus Christ's sake. And that's what's standing between you. And that idol will have to be torn down and cut down in your soul. You say, Reggie, what are you talking about? I'll give you some illustrations in Scripture. There was a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, and he was killing Christians and haling them into prison, the Bible said. And on the road to Damascus, you know what God did with Saul? He cut him down. He sawed his religious tree off at the stump. That's what has to happen. I want to ask you, are you truly, honestly, is there any fruit of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ? God cut Saul off and he fell down. And you know what? It wasn't no more rationalization. It wasn't more deals being made. It was, look, what? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then you're there. Then you're there. America is a religious sewer lagoon. A religious cesspool of wanting to go to heaven, of not going to hell, but I'm going to do everything my way. There is no repentance. And the Bible said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. Same word used in John chapter 3, verse 16. So you say, Rich, what are you talking about? Nebuchadnezzar, full of pride, a world ruler. What'd God do? God had to cut him down. He was out there eating grass for 7 years. I'm telling you for how many years it was. And God cut him off. And when he come up out of that situation, he said, God's God. Amen? I'm not God. God's God. That's what has to happen to you. I'm telling you right now, God can cut you down a lot of ways. He can cut you down through health. He can cut you down through finances. He can cut you down through trouble. He can do a lot of things to bring you to repentance. But I'll tell you one thing about it. When God comes after you, mark it in your day book, he's going to cut you down. Brother, don't come in this church unless you expect me to preach on it. But you told me yourself, when I first talked to you, that you went into the service and you left everything your mom and dad talked to you about. Is that right?
Dude.
And you know what you said to impress me? He said something. He said, Reggie, when I came back home, my tail was tucked between my legs and I was ready to do what God said to do.
Amen.
That's what was God doing? He's cutting you down, just like me. I'm telling you, we're all in the same boat, brother. We got to get cut down. Our pride, our religion, our garbage, our self-righteousness, all that stuff has to be cut out. And then we'll be risen with our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this not only has to be cut down. Boy, I wish I had a video of this. How many knows what it means to limb a tree after it's down? Tree goes down. The first thing you do is walk up there at the top of that tree and start limbing it back, cutting the limbs off of it. Aren't limbs beautiful? We all got our little limbs. We think we're pretty sharp. Oh, we think we're spiritual. We think we're good. We think we're great. We got our limbs. You know what God says? I'm cutting your limbs off.
Yeah.
You will never be a board until your cut down limbs cut off. All that pretty stuff that we think impresses God and everybody else, God says, cut it off. Not interested. Thine is the glory. God has to cut all your glory off. Going to be in the body of Christ, all that glory has to be cut off. Stripped of our earthly glory. These boards and this whole tabernacle was prepared by a man by the name of Bezalel. That name means under the shadow of the Almighty. What it's telling you is that God's work in and of our lives is done by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost brought you conviction. The Holy Ghost brought you truth. The Holy Ghost led you to repentance. The Holy Ghost saved you. The Holy Ghost just does it all. And I'm telling you something, He also does that pruning and that work in our lives and that the cutting that needs to be done. And so we see the Holy Ghost working in accordance to God's design. Jesus in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3, He said over and again, put off this and put off lying and put off this and put off that. What's He doing? He's limbing you. I want to tell you something. When I got saved, God started limbing me. He put off rock and roll, put off country western. I don't know about the rest of you. Maybe you still got your limbs on, but He cut my limbs of rock and roll off. In fact, somebody, how many seen my wedding picture? How many knows what limbs He cut off there? I hear. I got a haircut. I'm telling you, and nobody walked up to me and said, now you need to get your haircut. The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost. Nobody walked up to me and said, now you ought to quit listening to that rock and roll. The Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. I'm telling you, genuine, real salvation is a work of the Holy Ghost, and He will limb you. And He'll not only cut you down, but He'll limb you off. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. God will also limb you by preaching. He'll limb you by your mom and daddy. Sometimes it's a real limb. The first person that saw this said, what are you going to do, beat everybody up with it? Something like, you know, beat on people, beating board. Then God also not only saws us down, but He sands us. He starts taking off the rough edges. Whew. Well, that's a long process, ain't it? He starts smoothing us down. And then He starts doing something. He starts straightening us up. How many in here can stand a little bit of straightening up? How many has ever told your kids, straighten up? My mom used to say that all the time. Straighten up. God wants you straight. Narrow's the way. Straight is the gate and narrow's the way. How many believes? Let's take a vote. America likes to vote. How many thinks Christians ought to walk straight?
Amen.
How many thinks ought to be straight? How many thinks y'all not be a queer? Woo! Straight, amen. God is straight. Don't you like it? Don't you like it? Don't you like it? A queer can't be in the house of God, amen. Gotta be straight. Oh, I know somebody. Hey, I'm just trying to find some. I'm trying to make you mad enough to shut off the computer or to run out of the church. I don't care. If I do that, I know I'm preaching.
Amen.
All right. So then here comes. It was all personal handwork. Now listen to me. In this time of day, they did not run you through a piece of equipment. It was all handwork. Can I tell you something? Now listen to me. I can get up here and preach my guts out. Mom and Dad can preach at you, gripe at you, holler at you, threaten you, whatever. But let me tell you who's really going to have to do the work in the end. The Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, and isn't this wonderful about God? That He takes personal interest in you. He is working on you individually.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I like that old song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I'm telling you, God works on us. God works personally in our lives. The Bible said we were created unto good works after it settles of being saved. So we're cut down, we're stripped, and we're cut to God's measurement. Now I'm going to tell you this right now. This board, I went out the other day and Brother Bill, I cut a tree down, cut the log out, and I started to cut up this board, and the board started talking to me. I don't like the size you're making me. Board said I want to be taller than that. Other boy said, I want to be shorter than that. Other boy said, I want to be wider than that. Said, boy, I don't like the color I am. I said, I didn't make you, Dodo. God made you. You know what? We're little boys telling God we don't like the way he made us.
Yeah.
We're to be cut out to God's measurement, not the church's measurement, not the preacher's measurement. Not nobody else's measurement, but God's measurement.
Amen.
Now, here's what it was. It's 10 cubits high. That's about 15 foot. A cubit and a half wide. That's about 18 inches. Number 10 is a number of testimony. Guess what? God wants to, he's going to work you over, cut you down, strip you down, saw you up, get you, dry you out. I'm telling you, everything here is wonderful. So you can straighten you up so you can stand. Okay? So we can make you stand. Now, what I'm saying this is that if you're not careful, you don't want God to be cut out to God's measure. And this is where the rub comes. People don't want to be cut out like God wants them to cut out. They think it all. And the Bible said this, measuring yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. Comparing yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. Now, here's what I want to tell you something. I brought a tape up here this morning. See this measuring tape right here? It's got stuff called inches on it, foot, so forth. Now watch this. We're going to build us a house. So me and Bill and Ralph and Brother Lawrenson, we're a four carpenter team. We're going to build a house. We decide we're all going to start us a new construction team. Woo! Wouldn't you like to have me at the head of that deal? You'd have a house looking like that, amen? But we come up there and we all got measuring. Now watch this. We all got measuring tapes. Now God give the measurement. 10 cubits. So I come in. And Ralph says, Reggie, he's up on there and he says, Reggie, cut me a board 6 foot, 3 inches and 2 little marks. That's the way I do it. Amen. Let's see. What would that be, Ralph? 6 foot. What did I say? 6 foot, 4 inches and 2 little marks. That'd be, how many knows what that'd be? An eighth. You got it. It's an eighth. Okay. So I go down there and I come up, but I've got a different tape.
NIV.
Are you listening? Better get this. There ain't nobody in the world build a house with tapes that don't measure the same.
That's right.
So I've got my tape and I say, so I cut it out, womp, womp, womp. I hand it up to Ralph and Ralph puts it in and says, and Ralph's a real nice guy. He's very kind. Reggie, you must have read your tape wrong or something happened. Anyway, it don't fit. Can't use it. Ruined. He says, would you cut me out another one? So I measure again. He sent it up here. Don't fit. He says, what? Is your tape right? Yeah, that's right. Where'd you get it at? China. Mine's a Euro tape. And he said, well, wait just a minute. Bring that thing over here. He said, let's compare our inches. And so I said, well, there's the answer. I said, that Reggie, that ain't an inch. Their inches aren't the same as our inches. Y'all got it?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is what's going on in this country. This is why pastors are frustrated to death quitting the ministry. Amen. Ain't nobody measure you the same measure stick. Got your team together, and all they're doing is fussing. No, it ain't my tape's wrong. Your tape's wrong. Don't tell me my tape's wrong. I bought this at Walmart. You know, somebody's telling me the other day, this blew my mind. Somebody's talking about evolution and creation. And one child said, well, the Bible says we're created image. And this kid, this other girl was about 11, 12 years old or whatever the age was. Somebody, might have been some of you in here told me that. And she said, uh-uh, that ain't right. Said, my teacher told me that it's millions of years old. My teacher wouldn't lie to me. Somebody's measuring tape's not right. And when the measuring tape ain't right, the building's going to collapse. Now you listen to me. God has a measuring tape. Right here it is.
Amen.
You don't get to set the standard. I don't get to set the standard. Nobody else gets to set the standard. God sets the standard. God says what an inch is. God says what a foot is. God says what's right. God says what's wrong. You don't even have a say in it.
Amen.
He's not putting it up for vote. And God says, I'm going to measure you out the way I want you measured out. And the way, and by the way, 10 cubits testimony, 10 is the number of testimony, 10 commandments. God stands you up so you can be a testimony. But if you're not going to let God cut you out to be what He made you to be, you'll never be the testimony God wanted you to be. All right? So here we go. All righty. The Bible and Christ are eternal and universal standards of measurement. The standard for every subject. What's the standard about who God is? What's the standard about what God is like? What's the standard about man? Where man came from? Where man is going? Where's the standard? Is it my tape or Ralph's tape? You better make sure you're using the right measuring tape. How are we saved? Whose standard? Who's going to tell you how you're saved? You're going to get saved by water baptism? What's the evidence of your salvation? Speaking in tongues? Who's going to tell you? Where are you going to get the final authority on that? What's the final word on home? What is marriage? Who defines marriage? Whose standard are you going to use? We got all across this country now. Well, my little sodomite tape measure says that any people that care about each other can be at home. That's not true. That's a lie. The problem is we're not using the standard. And so when we get our own little measuring tapes about life, all of a sudden, whatever we want to do is just fine. What about children? What about education? What about finances? What about personal conduct? What about our morality? What about our government? Let me say something. Put this down in your soul. God is not relative. God is absolutely true. Amen. There's no wiggle room for it. Can you guys put on that video right now? We're going to play a little video I took this week at the sawmill, and I want to show you something about how God makes boards. God's measurement, how many knows what God's measurement standard is for heaven, to go to heaven? Absolute perfectness. Absolute perfect righteousness. And I'm not. So how am I going to get there? It's called imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to us by faith. That's the standard. It is not my righteousness. It is not self-righteousness. It is not religious righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ is the standard. All right. Can you guys get that thing rolling there? Now, you kind of just watch this. I'm going to tell you a little bit what's going on. This log has been put on the mill, and they put it on there. It's come off the rack. And so, man, all them things are different. So here comes the mill through. And he's taking off that. He's going to start. This is what God will. This tree has been cut down. All right. And what God is going to do is going to start conforming you. Does your Bible not say that we're to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ? So here's what God's doing. He starts cutting. And you know what? Now, this log is going to add some boards to it. And we're going to get to something here in a little bit. It's going to take a little time. I'm going to keep preaching. You don't have to listen. You can just watch. Amen. But anyway, so here's what happened. Does your Bible not say, watch this, all have sinned and done what? Come short. There's a measurement that's got to be met. And that measurement is perfect, absolute, sinless righteousness. And it has to be met. The only way it can be met is in Jesus Christ. Because I come up short every time. All right, he turned that log around. And boy, I'm telling you what, he's turning that into something, man. If that log was left to itself, it just sat out there and rot. Here he comes. Daniel, you here? He's not here. Oh, Daniel, he's a sawyer. He's a good one, too. He probably, I can say this with prejudice, he's best sawyer in the country. He's good. I mean, there's a lot of good sawyers, but he is good. No kidding about it. He look at a log and see what's in it. Did you know God's a good sawyer? He can look at you and see what's in you. God can see something he can make out of your life that you never dreamed of. Now, watch this right here. This is called an edger. That board right there is walking down to an edger. And when that board comes off with that bark on each side, he sends it through the edger right there. Now, they're getting ready to do something. He's going to keep rolling that thing. We'll get it there in just a second. But I want you to see this because, hey, folks, this is what God is doing in your life once you get saved. He cuts you down. He's sawing you up. He's going to make a board to stand in his tabernacle out of you, out of that, out of your life. Now, this guy, he's fixing to make a railroad tie in the center. I like to watch them things work. See, we think we're big stuff, but God can just turn you like that. We think we're heavy duty, but God says, you ain't nothing to my power. You get God's Holy Ghost hydraulic power working on you, you ain't got a chance, amen. By the way, everything in that log, they're going to use. The sawdust can be used. The bark can be used. You barbecue your hamburgers with that bark. That's where they get briquettes at. Now, he's fixing to go here. The reason I'm waiting, I want you to see something that occurs. How in the world do you get something like this out of a tree? Same way, that's how God works in your and I's life. This will be his last swipe right here. But you know what? The truth about it is we don't want God to do that to us. We don't like going through the pressure. We don't like being put on his table. We don't like what he's, you know, we want to do our deal. But God says, no, if you're going to stand for me, you're going to have to go through this process. So now he's taking that tie and all that wood. Now, here's what I want you to watch. In just a second, I'm going to show you something. He's going to take that board and he's going to put it through what's called an edger. And it's going to take that edger off. And by the way, he's going to measure. They measure that. Now, here it comes, and they didn't do it in particular. But here's this guy, and he's going to take that and those stacks of boards. Now, watch it. He's going to stand that up. Now, he wouldn't do this. So I asked him to do this. There's your board that come out of the tree. There's where this tabernacle is come to that point. Right there it is. Don't mess with that guy. See his arms? All right? He's a good guy. He really is. But that's a board. There you go. Now, I want to ask you something. In all honesty, that's what those builders of that tabernacle did. I want you to think of something funny. Everybody thinks about the children of Israel walking across sand. Did you know that God told them to build a tabernacle with boards that were 15 foot long and 18 inches wide? There were some big trees somewhere on their journey. Okay? Now, you've seen that? And so here's what happens. He got us cut down. And after we've been cut off and cut down and sawed up and measured and prepared, we are then placed in the proper position for God. We're positioned in Christ. The Bible said in Philippians 3:9 that we might be found in Christ. Watch this. Not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is by faith. Moses, a type of Christ, positioned and placed it. God calls. Now watch this. This is wild. I don't understand this. But here's the truth. If you and I are this board, and we are, and we're going to be set in the body of Christ, we don't get to pick where we stand. God decides it. And the best thing you'll ever do is not fight it. Say, Lord, put me where you want me. Just use me how you want me to be used. And I'll be willing to do that. So, God calls, sets in the body, members as he chooses. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:18 that if God calls you to be a doorkeeper, God gives you gifts and callings, whatever God tells you to do, you just be where God puts you. So we have each board resting, and here's what happens. Now watch this. This is the beautiful part. To me, this is one of the most interesting things in the entire treasure of the tabernacle. God said that they would rest on sockets of silver. Now they're out there in the wilderness, rough terrain. God says, I want you to put something this thing is set in. And I want you to set this in two sockets of silver. Silver speaks of redemption. Somebody help me. What's the message? If you don't ever remember anything else, remember this the rest of your life. That your standing is only in and on the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. God said, don't you put that board on the ground. Sands of religion, the sands of self-righteousness, the sands of works. He said, you stand that board up in two sockets of silver, each side there a socket, and it's in redemption. And let me tell you what stands between you and this old wicked world. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, which you receive in the vain conversation of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, you were redeemed. And God says, your standing is not in how, watch this, your standing is not in how good you are. Your standing is not how good a husband or how good a wife or how bad a husband or how bad a wife you may be. Your standing is on what Jesus did for you alone. Nothing else. That's completely and all of what your standing is in. The Bible teaches us that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that brought our redemption. Now I'm going to give you another thing. Not only are we standing in the silver, the redemption of Christ, please get this, we're resting there. There remaineth therefore rest for the people of God. No, just hang on your hats here for a little bit. If I but truly and honestly believed that I could lose my salvation, I would never rest. Amen. For I would be constantly worried that I might not be living good enough to go to heaven. You better get this down. God wants you to rest in what Jesus did for you.
Amen.
You say, Reg, I ain't lived very good this week. You ain't lived half as bad as I have. But I'm not resting in how good a man I am.
Amen.
I'm resting in what he did for me on the cross.
Amen.
I'm resting on the silver sockets of redemption. I want to ask you a question. This stuff amazes me. Does it amaze you how God built a building and explained everything that we are in him in this?
Amen.
Do you think man could have figured this out? Do you think man could have took something so simple and made it so profound? Christ's redemptive work, standing on God's redemptive work. Then, as I said, we're resting. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. There were 100 sockets in Exodus 38, verse number 27. 100 is the number of election of grace or children of promise. Get this. Abraham, what God is telling you is this. There's 100 of them sockets. And he's telling you, Abraham was how old when God fulfilled his promise? 100 years old. How many sheep did the shepherd have? 100. You know what God's telling you? I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's a promise. God is saying, I don't buck up on my promises. I keep my promises. And you can rest in my promises. Let me just tell you, you're never going to rest as long as you go by your feelings. You're never going to rest as long as you go by your circumstances. You're only going to rest when you rest in what Jesus did for you on the cross. It doesn't make any difference what anybody else says. And I want to encourage you today to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. What the 100 sockets message is, God keeps his promises. He will not fail. There's two sockets. The tenon, there's two tenons and two sockets. The tenons are grace and peace. They are resting in righteousness and truth, the two sockets. Every epistle in the New Testament starts off, grace and peace unto you. God wants you to know that you're constantly being reminded that you're resting in the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. What stands between us and this world, what separates us from this world, is the redeeming power and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God. The boards were covered with gold. Now hang on to your hats here for a little bit. After God made these boards, after they made these boards, then they said they would be covered in pure gold. What's the message? I want you to listen to your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be made partakers of the divine nature. Let me tell you what happens to you when you get saved. You were wood, human, flesh. God took that, cut it down, limbed it, sawed it up, made it to be what he wanted to be. You have your flesh. How many here are saved? Raise your hand. How many still have flesh nature? Raise your hand. Here's the story. If that wood had not been encased and sealed, that gold sealed it off. The Bible said you are sealed unto the day of redemption. It would have air in it, and that air would cause it to rot. Gold is deity. You are kept, the Bible said, 1 Peter 1:5, by the power of God.
Amen.
You have two natures. If you're a saved person, you have two natures. You have your old flesh nature. And you have your divine nature. You were born of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. It's a divine nature. It's what God's telling you by the covering of the wood with the gold. Divine nature. By the way, the whole tabernacle speaks of Jesus Christ. He was man, but he was God.
Yes.
Okay? All right. I'm trying to teach and preach, okay? And anyway. But this is where I'm going to finish out this morning. Then God said, after you made them, stand them up!
Amen.
Stand them up! Get your Bibles open. Everybody ever heard of a standard? Romans chapter 5, verse number 2. We're going to do this and get you out of here. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2. Here we go. Romans 5 verse number 2. The Bible says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we what? Stand. Can I tell you this morning, if God saved you, He saved you to stand for something, and that something is Him in His holy name. He said, the hope of the glory of God. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 4. Everybody turning there and everybody going to write him down or whatever you're doing to get home. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant to his own master? He standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be. Watch this. Hold it up. For God is able to make him stand. You think, man, I can't stand. I can't stand up. Lord, I can't make it. God says, I will hold you up. I will make you stand.
Amen.
But you got to let him work on you. You got to let him put that divine nature on you. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2, 5. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 5. The Bible said that your faith should not what? Stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, wherein also ye have received, and wherein ye what? Ye stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. I love it. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13. The Bible says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. If there's anything God is telling you when you look at that tabernacle, is that He wants His people standing straight and tall with a standard for Almighty God. He does not want us caving in. And so then if you go to Ephesians chapter 6, what does the Bible say? Having done all, stand! Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. I'm just going to stop with this. You go all the way through the Old Testament, and God continually tells you to stand, 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 stand. But He says you don't have to stand on your own strength. I will hold you up. I will cause you to stand. I will make you stand.
Amen.
I'm telling you, listen, if there were a time right now in America, we need to stand up for something.
Amen.
I'll tell you what you need to do right now. You need to make up your mind you're going to stand up for this Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Stand up for the Bible. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. It's still the Word of God, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to stand up for the fundamentals of the faith, the triune Godhead, the virgin birth, the sinless life of Christ, His substitutionary death, His burial, His glorious resurrection, His ascension into heaven. We need to stand up for creation. We need to stand up for the sinfulness of man. We need to stand up for salvation by grace through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to stand up for the fact there's a heaven. We need to stand up for the fact there's a hell. We need to stand up for the fact that the Christ is coming back for the church. We need to stand up for God's glory. And we need to stand up for the Bible standard. We need to stand up for marriage in this country. Who's going to stand? Who's going to stand? He's talking about office this morning, van running and Hannah and all that. I tell you right now, run for something. Run for a county seat and get over there at Hartville. Get over at Ava and stand, amen.
Amen.
Got a man back here running for church to serve. You tell you, talk about if he wins that thing, I'm telling you, we're going to have to pray for you, amen. But a sheriff has to stand. Who'll stand up for the Constitution? Who'll stand up for the Second Amendment? I don't care if you don't like Donald Trump or not, but I tell you, I ain't seen a wimpy Republican in 40 years who would have said what he said the other night at Mount Rushmore. He said they're evil, they're godless, they're God haters, Constitution haters, they hate America, and we're not letting them win.
Amen.
Oh, the little liberals had a snowflake fit. I got tickled. George Soros went down and rented all them big fancy white vans for about 35 or 40 of them to go down and block, and took those rented vans and blocked the highway. And the governor of South Dakota, whatever, Dakota, that lady up there, she's got more guts and backbone than 95% of the men in America. She said, I ain't putting up with you guys 1 second. She sent them trucks down there, tow trucks, hauled them out, impounded them. They had to walk home, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Trump said, you're not going to desecrate this. And he said, none of that, but you desecrate a federal statute or monument, now it's 10 years at least in jail for you. Amen.
Amen.
Stand up for something. Stand up for something. Listen, I'm pretty hardcore old hillbilly, conservative, constitutional, Christian, Republican. But you listen to me. When I heard him speak the other night, I wanted to stand up, amen. Daddy, stand up for something. Mama, stand up for something. Young people, stand up for something. Don't sit there and let those liberals cow you down and intimidate you. Stand up, amen. I want to ask you kids what would happen to you. Where's that flag at? I want to ask you something this morning. You say, let's say you was up Springfield. Let's say you was up there at the Battlefield Mall and a bunch of BLMs or Antifa punks come in there and they started desecrating the flag. I wonder what you would do with it. What would you do? I mean, let's get out of here. I'm telling you right now, that man and his wife the other day in St. Louis, when that mob broke through their gate and they pulled out their guns, what were they doing? They were standing up for their freedom. Amen. America has got to quit folding and start standing. God is telling you, stand up for your marriage. Stand up for your family. Stand up for your church. Stand up for your faith. Stand up for your constitution. Stand up for your freedom. Quit bowing down. Quit being intimidated. America has become a country of cowards. Man, I'm telling you something right now. I've been reading a book that Sister gave me of World War II. I mean, I've read, I don't know how many books. I mean, but I'm telling you right now, when those coffins come home and that flag's draped over that coffin, brother, I'm going to tell you something. Them sorry low-down scum heads out of hell yesterday got up there outside the White House, put that on the ground, spit on it, walked on it. I'm telling you right now, you say, oh, you wouldn't have. Yes, I would. You watch me. I'd have run right in the middle of them. I might have got whipped, kicked, stomped, killed. But I'm telling you right now, I'd have run right in the middle of them.
Amen.
If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything.
Amen.
You kids listen to this preacher. When that teacher starts telling you that you evolved 42 million years ago, you stand up.
Amen.
Stand physically up and say, that is not true. You're calling God a liar. Woo! Well, you're afraid of what all the other kids would say? No, no, no. They're all waiting for somebody to stand.
Amen.
They're waiting for somebody to stand. You don't get any admiration by folding. Makes me sick. This country's just folded up. Nobody's gonna stand for nothing anymore. Penny ante preachers coming out of Bible college won't stand up for the Bible.
Amen.
I'm telling you, listen right now. We need to stand up in some practical ways. Are you standing up against the world's music? Are you standing up against the world's dress? Against the world's fashions? I'm telling you right now. If I was in the NFL, and I'll never be, don't want to be that slime hole. Ain't nothing but a cesspool out of hell. It's all NFL, NASCAR, and anybody that bows down to this garbage of kneeling. When our flag goes up, they're sorry.
Amen.
Leave America.
Yes.
Leave.
Right.
My dad rode a ship in World War II. My uncle was in the Battle of Bulge. You think I'm going to fold up when those men that I knew, all the men down there in Douglas County and Wright County, you think I'm folding up after what they sacrificed in World War II? You lost your ever-living mind.
Amen.
Stand up!
Amen.
It's time to stand. God wants us to stand, folks. And having done all what? Let me just tell you something. If there's ever a time when I see David and Goliath situations in America now, here's these big army officials, all the generals, the colonels, captains sitting on the side of the hill. Oh, Goliath. Oh, Goliath. And they're just folding. They got God of glory on their side, and they're folding. If, let me give you a verse. Wrap it around your soul, your heart. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
And here comes little David. And he stands. And one man standing put an entire army to flight. Amen. Donald Trump may be lost as a goose, and he may fry in hell. I don't know whether he's saved or not. But let me tell you something, he knows. He knows that if you stand, it'll amount to something. I'd rather die standing than live kneeling.
Amen.
Stand up for your church. Stand up for your fellow believers. Stand up for your country. Stand up for your faith. Don't let anybody cow you down anywhere at any time under any circumstances. You can be used of God. God uses people that are standing. But you can't stand if you're not saved. If you're not saved today, I pray that you will be saved. So I'm going to ask you a question today. This book contains it's the book of life. Every aspect and arena of my life is embedded in this book. I wonder how many of you today say, Reggie, I want to stand for the Word of God. Would you stand? I want to stand for the Word of God. I want to stand for the Word of God. How many say, I'll tell you what, Reggie, I want to stand for the Constitution. I want to stand for the Constitution. Folks, it's time to stand. God gave us the gift of liberty. We must not let the godless steal it from us. Our Father in heaven, thank you today for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the tabernacle. Thank you, Lord, for these boards that had to be cut down, stripped of all self-glory, cut, measured, sanded, encased in gold, and God made to stand upon the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, resting in His redemption, but standing. Oh God, I pray that in this day that Thou will arise up men, women, young people who will stand against abortion, stand against sodomy, stand against the perversion of the Word of God, stand against immorality, stand against corruption, stand against anything that is contrary to Thy Word. God, I ask You this. Help us to stand, not in arrogancy, not in any pride of ourselves, but to humbly and yet boldly, consistently and solidly stand, knowing that You will hold us up, that we have never stood in our own strength, in our own power. We have never rested upon our own strength. But God, when it's Your strength and Your power, there is nothing impossible with God. Lord, we commit to Thee today that by Your grace we will stand. Help us to be standing for the right thing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.